Well, Bob Hope tells the story of one day he had just done a comedy benefit show at a nursing home. And at the end of the show, he walked up to a sweet little old lady, reached out his hand and said, "Hello, do you know who I am?" And the woman smiled and said, "I don't know, Sonny, but if you asked the nurse, she could tell you." Now, in today's gospel, there is a similar question. Jesus says to the apostles, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And then after their responses, he then says, "But who do you say that I am?" Take a look at today's gospel. It's a very short gospel from Matthew chapter 16. And this is one of the most important gospels that we should memorize as Catholics. Always remember Matthew 16:16, okay? "Upon this rock I will build my church." If you take a look at it, even though it's a short gospel, it contains very important details. The first one is the fact that Jesus took his disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi. It's the only time in the New Testament where the Lord takes his apostles to this particular region. Last week we heard about him taking them up into the pagan territory of Tyre and Sidon. Today the Lord takes them up directly above the Sea of Galilee, about 20 miles north, again into pagan territory, to the region of Caesarea Philippi, named after Caesar Augustus and Philip the Tetrarch. What's unique about this particular region is that the Lord brought them to the base of this huge rock formation. Remember, Simon's name will be changed to Rock. So notice how the Lord sets the stage for what he's about to do. He could have done this anywhere, the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, some other place. But the Lord took them up to this huge rock formation. This rock formation, you can still see it today. It's about a cliff, about 200 feet tall, about 600 foot wide, and above it, upon it, was built a pagan temple. So again, this is the backdrop. The Lord took them to this exact location. You can go there today on visits to the Holy Land and see where Jesus told Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The backdrop is this huge rock formation, a pagan temple. And now the Lord asked them the question, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" So we call this the first Gallup poll in the history of the world. What do the crowd say? Who do the crowd say that I am? What are the answers? Well, the apostle said, 33% say you're John the Baptist. Another 33% say you're Elijah, come back from the dead. And the other 33% say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Notice the crowd got it wrong. Isn't that often the case? The secular media gets it wrong sometimes about the church, about the teachings of the church. Don't get your religious teachings from a secular newspaper. Go to the catechism of the Catholic Church. Go to the authentic teaching of the church. Don't trust the twist or the agenda of certain modern day media when it comes to authentic truth. Notice the crowd got it wrong. See, nobody got it right back then. Nobody said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, as far as the general crowd, the general public. They said he was John the Baptist come back from the dead, Elijah come back from the dead, or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Notice they all got it wrong. And so then the Lord turns to his apostles. He turns to the church. The 12 apostles were the early church. And say, "No, they got it wrong. Who do you say that I am?" And there is silence. And then one voice rings out. The voice of the first pope, St. Peter. And Simon Peter says, now, this is not something that Simon Peter could have come up with on his own. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. God the Father revealed this to him. He received a sudden insight, a sudden grace, a sudden illumination of the mind, heart, and intellect. And he said, an infallible statement. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. One of the greatest declarations of the divinity of Christ in the entire New Testament. You are the Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. You are the Christ. Not only that, you are the Son of the living God. So he has a tremendous insight into the divinity of Christ. And even Jesus is surprised. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." He uses his formal name, Simon, son of Jonah, his full name. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." In other words, you're not that bright to have come up with this on your own. We all know St. Peter, very lovable, but he wasn't that bright. But he loved the Lord so much. He says, "It was my heavenly Father that revealed this to you." So now it's revealed to the Lord that St. Peter is going to be the one that Jesus will choose to be his first pope. And he said, "You have declared me the Christ, the Son of God. I now declare you something else. You are Simon." Your name was Simon. The word in Aramaic means like a reed that sways in the wind. "I'm going to change your name. I now declare to you that you are Peter." This is when he gives Simon the name Peter. "And upon this rock, I will build my church." Again, think of the backdrop, the huge rock formation with a pagan temple. He now says, "You are the rock." And he calls him Peter. Remember that Jesus spoke Aramaic. And there's no difference when he says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Sometimes you'll read people that say Jesus was referring to Peter as one rock and something else as a different rock. Because they look at the Greek New Testament. But when you look at Jesus spoke Aramaic, and there's no distinction in those words. The word Jesus used was Kepha. "You are Kepha. And upon this Kepha I will build my church." So you are Peter. Upon this Peter rock I will build my church. And notice Jesus says, "I will build the church." St. Peter was not the founder of the church. Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church upon St. Peter. And he says, "I will build my church." Jesus doesn't say, "I will build many churches." He doesn't say, "I will build 35,000 different Christian denominations," which is what we have today in America alone, 35,000 Christian denominations. Jesus is not saying, "I will build my churches." He says, "I will build my church." Singular. Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church upon St. Peter and the apostles. We have 266 popes from Peter to Pope Francis. "I will build my church." And then he gives us very encouraging words. "The gates of hell," the gates of the netherworld, "shall not prevail against it." So the church will never be able to be destroyed. Even though Nero tried to destroy the church, Julian the Apostate tried to destroy the church, Decius, Diocletian, Napoleon tried to destroy the church, the French revolutionaries tried, the communists, the Nazis. Go throughout history and look at all the people that have tried to destroy the church. And yet here we are in the year 2014, and the church is still here with its 266 pope. There's a humorous story, it's a true story, that had to do with Napoleon. Now, Napoleon hated the Catholic Church. He arrested and imprisoned the pope at the time, Pope Pius VII. And Napoleon then brought a document to the cardinal that was in charge and asked him to sign it. The cardinal would not sign it because it meant that the church would have to come under the authority of Napoleon. And Napoleon was furious that the cardinal would not sign this document. And he says, "If this document is not signed, I will destroy the Roman Catholic Church." And the insightful cardinal calmly replied, "Your Majesty, If popes, cardinals, bishops, and priests have not succeeded in destroying the church in the course of 19 centuries, how do you expect to do it in your lifetime? What a brilliant insight. If we, as weak human men and women, have not destroyed the church, how could Napoleon destroy it? Napoleon is long dead and gone, and the church is still here. So the gates of the netherworld have not prevailed against the church. Then he says something, I give you, singular, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Imagine that, giving him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's authority. See, if you give somebody your car keys, you're giving them authority to drive your car. You give them your house keys, authority to come into your house. Imagine giving St. Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Authority. In the Old Testament, the king would have a prime minister, the keeper of the keys. And this is the one who had the authority. When the king would be away on travel, the prime minister had the keys of the kingdom. And so Jesus would ascend to heaven, but he would give Peter and his successors the authority to govern the church. Then the gospel concludes by saying, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's incredible authority. And this is the reason why we go to Mass on Sunday, because the church says we go to Mass on Sunday. Now, this is the authority of the church, whether it be about marriage or annulments. That's the authority of the church. Jesus says, whatever you, the church, bind on earth is considered bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So think of any of the teachings of the church, the moral teachings. Notice that the gates of hell have not prevailed against the moral teachings of the church. Look at the teachings on issues of faith and morals. The church has never changed its teachings on the Trinity, the Incarnation, the divinity of Christ, the resurrection, the seven sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, or any moral teachings, abortion, euthanasia, contraception, homosexual activity, marriage, whatever the issue is, an issue of faith or morals. Thanks be to God, because Jesus Christ founded the church upon Peter and the apostles, the church does not have the authority to change these issues on faith and morals. So we're very blessed. Even though other denominations will water down their teachings and change their teachings and lose their faithfulness to Scripture and the teachings of sacred Scripture, the Catholic Church can never change its teachings on issues of faith or issues of morals. Certainly it can change practices and Mass from Latin to English or music or church disciplines, but it cannot change doctrine on issues of faith and morals. And so we're so blessed to have that guarantee that whatever is bound on earth is considered bound in heaven. Loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So what a great comfort this is, that the gates of hell shall never prevail against our church.